The coronavirus pandemic has turned life as we know it upside down.
We're in the United States of America, and you think to yourself, how in the hell did we let this happen?
How are our communities, our jobs, and our daily lives changing? And where do we go from here?
We've spent billions of dollars hunting down terrorist cells. We don't do that with pandemics. That's the wrong approach.
America Interrupted, a new original podcast series from the PBS NewsHour, available wherever you get your podcasts.
We return now to COVID-19 and the enormous toll it is taking, particularly on people of color. Nearly 30% of COVID patients in the U.S., where race was identified, are Black, according to CDC data. Yet African Americans make up only about 13% of the population. The percentage of cases among Latinos also remains disproportionately high. Yamiche Alcindor has this report on how these disparities are affecting communities on the ground.
There's just this huge weight that lays on my shoulders.
Sierra Bates Chamberlain is seeing up close the devastating impact of COVID-19. The virus has torn through her family.
My grandmother, my father, my cousin, and my aunt, they're all hospitalized.
At hospitals across Chicago, they've all been on ventilators.
I never told my dad I love him so much. And I don't think we've ever told each other that we loved each other this much.
She loved God, loved her family, and she loved to smile.
Glenn Harston II is mourning his aunt, Margaret Jones. After 2 weeks in the hospital, her kidneys and liver shut down. Her family wasn't able to visit her.
We don't know what the final moments were like. We, from the time that she entered the hospital, we never saw her again, never had a conversation with her again.
He now fears 15 of his family members may have the virus.
I still don't know the exact number. You know, a lot of relatives weren't able to get tests. You know, it's one thing to sit and watch things on TV and you say, that's sad. It's different when you're living it.
As the number of cases and deaths continues to mount, a clearer picture is forming of the disproportionate toll COVID-19 is having on Black people and communities of color. In New York City, the U.S. epicenter, Blacks and Hispanics are dying at roughly twice the rate of whites. In Chicago, Blacks are dying at nearly three times the rate of whites. And in New Mexico, Native Americans account for more than half of all confirmed cases, despite being only 11% of the population.
The disparities that existed that are being unearthed during COVID, they existed before COVID.
Dr. Andrew Marshall is an emergency physician at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center in Boston.
There's a long history of disadvantage in this country. When you think about access to health care, when you think about access to healthy food, when you think about job security, the things that many of us enjoy and we take for granted, that make it really hard for certain communities to be healthy.
Experts point to long-standing social and racial inequities. Bates Chamberlain's loved ones, who ended up hospitalized, suffer from the diseases that run in her family, diabetes or high blood pressure. African Americans as a whole suffer disproportionately from those same chronic illnesses, which make COVID-19 more deadly. Blacks and Hispanics are also less likely to have health insurance, and people of color in general are more likely to live in dense cities than whites. They also have less access to high-quality food. At the same time, working from home isn't an option for many.
A lot of people get to stay home and quarantine themselves. That's great. I'm happy for them, you know? But I'm not lucky enough to do that. A lot of us are not.
Ruby Quintanilla works at an Amazon warehouse in Chicago. A number of her coworkers have tested positive for the virus. For her, social distancing is a privilege she doesn't have.
It's next to impossible sometimes, to be honest with you. It really is. It's really hard to. The aisles inside the cells in the clusters are really small and tight-knit. You can't just go get a glass of water. You overthink absolutely everything. You go wash your hands, come back out. You go look at this water station, and you're like, do I really need that glass of water right now?
Quintanilla works from 8:15 p.m. to 4:45 a.m. so she can spend time taking care of her parents. Her mother has osteoporosis. Her dad is anemic and has diabetes.
He could work all day to give us the world he would. That's my father. It's our turn to return that. Our turn to take care of him. our turn to give up the world, our turn to make sure that they're safe, just like they did for us. But it's really hard right now, really hard to do that for them.
I think we were grossly unprepared.
Back in Boston, Dr. Marshall says the messaging for the underserved, especially in a time of crisis, often falls short.
We forget that there are pockets in the city that don't have as much means. We also forget that, you know, when we tell somebody that to go home and self-isolate, we take for granted that you can do that, that you have a room in your house where other people don't live, where you can self-isolate.
Back in Chicago, Glenn Harston sees his aunt's death squarely as a failure on the part of the government.
Do you think your aunt's death was preventable?
Absolutely think it was preventable. There were some missed opportunities that for leadership to really impress upon that this is a serious disease and that we needed to be mindful. He didn't take it very seriously. Therefore, why should anybody else? I know that absolutely if I turn on the TV and I see the president of the United States wearing a mask, I'm absolutely going to tune in and think that something is pretty serious.
Meanwhile, President Trump has appointed Ben Carson, the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, to lead a council focused on looking at how the virus is impacting communities of color. But lawmakers, including members of the Congressional Black Caucus, have been pushing the administration to do more. They say officials need to take immediate steps to address disparities and improve the way racial data is collected.
We're angry and we're hurting.
For Sierra Bates Chamberlain, life is still a daily struggle. All four of her family members were released from the hospital, but just this morning, her father had to be rushed back. She believes her experience and countless others like it must serve as a wake-up call for the country.
We can't continue to just blame Black people for their own death. This does fuel the fire for us to really fight hard for an equitable response.
For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Yamiche Alcindor.